I studied economics in Zimbabwe for 2 years. Then no money at home, no food in the cupboards. So here I am.
I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to offend you.
No problem. I'll go back one day. But at home, well, my parents are old and no one is working. They depend on the money and food that I send.
It's a scene from a fictional radio drama about food insecurity. Yet, the situation is very real. Many families in Southern Africa rely on each other for cash and food when times are tough. Whether the extended family is across a border or living in another part of the country, few urban dwellers would dream of returning home from the holidays or a weekend visit empty-handed. Many people in the city also enjoy the fruits of their rural family's agricultural labor, at least every once in a while. This episode of Feeding Hungry Cities, Southern Africa speaks on food security, looks at how households are stretched across the urban and rural divide, and the importance of remittances and informal food transfers to food security in the region. Every day, new people leave rural areas to trek to the region's urban centers to seek out opportunities. Research conducted by the African Food Security Urban Network, or AFSAN, found that the migrants dominate poor neighborhoods in most cities. Of 6,500 urban households surveyed, in 38%, every member of the household was born outside the city. Almost one in three poor urban households say they receive food from relatives or friends outside the city. The highest rate of rural to urban food flows are found in Namibia's capital, Windhoek. Almost half of all Windhoek households report receiving food from outside the city.
Rural-urban transfers in Namibia are very important. We found they were more important in Windhoek than in any of the other 11 cities. Not that it doesn't happen in some of the other cities. But you have a situation in Namibia where so many people have migrated to the city, are maintaining their links with rural homesteads. It's often about food being transferred from the rural area to the urban area, and then household members in the urban area may send remittances in terms of food or goods back to the rural area.
Wade Pendleton is a researcher and former professor of anthropology at the University of Namibia, who led AFSAN's research into food security in Windhoek. According to Professor Pendleton, these transfers are critical to the livelihoods of urban households. However, these city-rural connections are not just about coping. They are part of deeply ingrained commitments to maintaining family ties.
This maintains the important relationship and kinship ties between the rural and the urban area, and creates the opportunity that people haven't, so to speak, lost their roots. They haven't lost their contact with the rural villages that they came from, and that they still participate in traditional rituals and ceremonies, and they still in a very important way contribute to the upkeep of the rural homesteads. This transfer of money and food and relationships and maintaining ties between family is an important part of the dynamic of the migration and urbanization phenomena that's taking place, not just in Namibia, but all over the Southern African region.
Dr. Fred Joshua Mulima, lecturer of the University of Namibia, is a vegetarian with strong beliefs about the food he eats. He tells Robin Tyson about how, like many in Southern Africa, each month he sends cash to help support family in the rural areas.
You have an extended family living in rural areas. Do you support them financially or food-wise on a monthly basis?
There's a general perception in the African culture that you do not go and save money in the bank. You save money on your children. Yeah, and when the children have grown and they've left home and they are working, that's your bank account. And because when they start working, they'll be sending you money. So yeah, in my culture, it's you are not a good son, daughter, if you do not send money, food, or in this case, money, because they can buy it from that side, to your parents. So, for instance, for me, my parents died when I was still young. But I do have my parents-in-law. We send them about $1,000 every month.
Do you dictate to them what they do with that money?
Not at all. We don't dictate. This is money that is that they can use anyhow. Primarily, they use it for buying food. They will go to a supermarket and buy food. But for me, if I had my way, I would advise them to buy on the open market because it's cheaper, because it's food that comes from the fields than those that have been in the shop.
Many families pool their finances to send one person off to earn income in the city. They know that the migrating family member will send money back home once they settle in. These finances help rural families to pay school fees, medical expenses, and fulfill other cash needs. The evidence for Southern Africa, at least, is that most of these rural households do not invest remittances in agriculture, but in basic necessities, including food purchase. Once the migrant lands in the city, it may take time to find a job. In the meantime, family can continue to be a support structure, as Dr. Salip Pebedi of the Gauteng City Regional Observatory, GCRO, says has been observed in Namibia.
The other relationship is sometimes when in Namibia, when people went to the city, what you found is, say, you've arrived there, you haven't quite got your job yet, you're still struggling. Sometimes the people in the rural area will send food to you to make sure that you can keep there long enough to find a job.
The food crisis that has plagued Zimbabwe in the last decade has also affected food flows to and from these cities. As in Windhoek, migrants to Harare maintain strong social and material connections with rural areas. In the past, the established practice was from urban households to send money and supplementary food to the rural areas. The economic crisis in that country has, however, reconfigured the nature of these relationships and flows. Urban households are increasingly getting more from the village than they send, suggesting that the flow of resources between the rural and the urban area has reversed.
What we find in Zimbabwe, particularly after the post-2000 crisis, is that there is more of rural to urban transfers than urban to rural transfers. So the net flows are now urban-wide rather than rural, mostly food, but there is also an increasing trend in the movement of money, that is cash, from the rural areas to the urban areas, because most urbanites participate in agricultural activities. Between 2006-2008 and the survey that we carried out in 2008, it showed unarguably that rural urban transfers are central to the food security of urban households.
Not all city dwellers rely on rural families' agricultural efforts to keep their cupboards stocked with foods from home. Some urban households in countries like Mozambique and Botswana maintain their own plots of land in the village where they grow crops or keep animals. By farming their own plots, urban household members contribute to generating the food that they eat when they visit the countryside, or they sell to get a supplementary income that they can use in both the rural and urban area. Food crisis in the cities has made these activities even more important. Mahaji Majid Bagali recently returned to Chowe village in Malawi. After many years of making a living in South Africa's urban centers, chief of the village, Mr. Bagali, knows all too well the challenges of food in both urban and rural areas. While he was living outside the village, he still maintained strong ties, including keeping a small plot of land.
I had a garden at home, which I thought I should still maintain it. That meant any time I came home on holiday, I could take a bag or two bags of maize to the city. And this is true with many other people. For those who are in town and do not do farming at home, they still have got chances of coming back and get a bag of maize from the people or friends, relatives who are at home. And it also works on the other side. Even this one from town coming home, he also brings something to the people at home. So we are able to share in that way.
How important are such exchanges?
Well, that exchange is really important. It's very important because there are times when people at home will depend on whatever they get from the people who are in the city. That works that way, and it's very important. So if you are in the city, you make sure that you assist the people at home, and that's how we live.
Neighbor to the region's economic giant, South Africa, Mozambique is one of the poorest countries in the world. Maputo is Mozambique's vibrant seaside capital. In the growing city, the urban poor maintain a close and conscious relationship with their rural area. having a mashamba or a farm in a village is considered the best option. But many also have small plots on the outskirts of Maputo or in the Bairro itself. Dona Rosa lives in Shamankulu, one of Mozambique's densest and poorest township areas. Dona Rosa looks forward to the months of June, July and August, when family is most likely to send produce from their mashamba.
What kind of food does your family from rural areas send to you?
They send me mainly rice, corn when it's in season, green beans.
Do you send money to them or you pay them when they arrive with the food?
I don't need to send anything, but when they need help of some value, I will transfer it through the bank.
How do they send the food to you?
They're sending by the drivers. They contact any car that is coming and they give me the number of the driver. And when they arrive here at the terminal, I will go fetch the food.
In most countries, rural to urban migration is an unbroken trend spanning decades. In the case of Zambia, urban poverty actually led to the outmigration from urban areas during the 1990s, though the post-2000 economic recovery and growth seems to have reversed this trend once again. Mutendere, which in the local language of Zambia means peace, is one of the oldest and low-income compound in Lusaka and one of the biggest. It is situated just east of the capital of Lusaka. Mutendere is an urban township with less than 10,000 people and approximately 1,500 houses. Like many in the area, Mark tells Mwenya Mkuka about how goods are transferred among family members.
So I receive parcels of, say, a maize meal, groundnuts, or beans, or any other stuff from other rural areas.
Normally, I do receive. In fact, it was 2 days ago, I received a 50 kg bag of cassava, a dried one, so that here we take it to the mills so that they grind us meal out of it. Then we receive vegetables like mushrooms, dried mushrooms. I think they gave us quite enough. That will take us more than 3 months. We eat mixed with the groundnuts, where we are supposed to spend money to buy the same here in town, which is expensive again, at least with some people who are giving us food stuff from home.
Or do you send them some money so that, you know, they grow more, especially maize, or you don't?
Not necessarily sending cash. We give them second-hand clothes that they give other people to help them cultivate their fields so that they can increase the food production at home.
Across Southern Africa, rural households purchase some of their food with cash that they receive from household members who have migrated. And city cupboards often have much welcome produce from rural homelands on their shelves. These exchanges among family members and close friends play a role managing vulnerability in some cities and households. Perhaps a greater understanding of African kinship ties and food transfers could point to strategies to move informal transfers away from being simply a response to food insecurity to providing insight into making families more food secure. Unfortunately, while informal food transfer can alleviate pressing food needs, households in informal areas receive almost double the amount of food transfers than those living in informal areas. Over 80% of households receiving food transfers are still considered food insecure. In South Africa, there is little informal food transfer from rural areas at all. Food transfers do not make households food secure, but rather they can be emergency response to food insecurity. Hunger, African city, people in rows don't want to get home. Month end, money not reaching, 6 more days of an empty kitchen. It's getting late, enough I can take, enough is enough, I need food on my plate. Out on your own, friends are not home, beginning to grow and moving our own. No change for taxi, no ticket for bus, no food security.